Number 332, the song of invitation tonight. Good to see everyone back this evening. Some of you are here tonight who were not here this morning. Appreciate very much all of you for being here. And as we join in together in our study of God's Word tonight, I want to ask all of us to open our minds and accept the things that God says, regardless of what we think or what we feel or what we want. But allow God to direct us, instruct us, teach us, and lead us. Tonight, we've been studying for quite some time the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have been discussing the organization of the church. We've talked about the worship of the church, and lately we've been talking quite a bit about the work of the church. We have pointed out that the work of the church is specified by God in the Bible. We have the responsibility to edify one another, to evangelize or teach the gospel to others, and to provide benevolence or help to the needy saints. Those are the things that God has instructed His church as the church to do. And so we've discussed those, and tonight I want to talk about one more thing in relationship to the things we've discussed, and that is recreation and social entertainment, social meals. We can go from place to place, and we can see a lot of different things being done in churches. The denominational world has, for many, many years, engaged in what we refer to often as the social gospel. Today, sadly, many professed churches of Christ are also regularly engaging in what we would refer to as the social gospel. I want to show you something. Just let you see this. Well, this is Pleasant Valley's website. This is live. This is their website. This is what you see when you pull it up. You got camping, you got Super Bowl, you got baby blessings, and dinner is served. Click here to place your order. As you can see, that's the things that you see going on in churches of Christ all over the country. Father-daughter banquet, those kinds of things. Is that something that the church should be interested in? Guest and new member breakfast, January 24th at 9:30. Baby blessings, and it just rolls back around. So, something to think about. Brethren, are we to be engaged in such things as the church? That's the question. That's what we're going to be considering tonight. I want you to consider this subject with me. First of all, I want to point out some things that the issue is not, and what I'm going to be talking about is not associated with these things. There are many times and many arguments that are made when you say, well, I don't believe that the church ought to be engaging in these social activities. They should not be building fellowship halls, recreational centers, and engaging in recreational activities as such. And some people will come up with some arguments that really have no merit whatsoever. They have no substance to them at all. For example, well, you have a water fountain, a water cooler. Yeah, we do have a water cooler. I tell you what, when people start gathering around the water cooler for social engagement and entertainment, and that starts costing the church money to have that association around the water cooler, we'll get rid of the water cooler. That is simply a necessity. It's an incidental act of people coming together. By the way, to have restrooms and public facilities such as that is a requirement by the city. So we need something to engage, well, to help provide the needs of the people who are here. Isn't restrooms, sinks, refrigerators to keep the grape juice cool? It's not that the brethren socialize in the foyer. They talk about football or politics or whatever else. That's not the issue either. what members do, what brethren do as individuals, is a different situation than what the church plans and provides support for out of the treasury. That's a different issue altogether. It is not the preacher eating his lunch in the meeting house. The issue is not even eating in the building or eating on the grounds. That's not the issue. Well, what is the issue? The issue is whether or not the local church may provide, oversee, and pay for the social and recreational activities of the local church. That's the issue. Should we take the Lord's money and use it to provide stuff we want to do, such as recreation, eating, feeding our face, those kinds of things? That is the issue. So don't try to blur the issue or misdirect the issue. Don't try to get around the issue. That's the issue, fairly and squarely presented. There are things such as incidental matters while we are at the building. Someone may come in and they may have something to give up, for example, a birthday present, or a wedding gift, a shower gift, or they may have something that they have sold to one of the members of the church. That's incidental to people coming together and seeing each other and taking an opportunity to visit with each other on an individual level. That's different than the church organizing that business and setting those things up. Can you see the difference? Well, sure we can. To seek medical advice from Brother Thrower or someone, that's different than the church supporting, building, and maintaining a hospital. I think we can see the difference there. Me eating here, or someone who is here working during the day and they bring a sandwich, or they go down here to the store and get them a sandwich and come back here and eat in the building. That's one thing. That's an incidental act. But for the church to take money out of the treasury and build a facility by which we can feed people, that's a totally different thing. What is the issue? Can the church provide fellowship, and I put that in quotes, fellowship halls? By the way, I do believe that there is a fellowship hall that we must have, and that is the hall in which we are gathered to worship God. This is our fellowship hall. That is what we're doing tonight. We're having fellowship with one another. We're having fellowship in the Word of God. And so, yes, from that, but when we think about fellowship halls, what do you think of? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Family life centers. You see, it started out, brethren, I'll tell you, back in the mid-30s, I read an article by Brother Tom Hall. He said back in the 30s, you couldn't find a congregation anywhere that would allow for such a thing as feeding, you know, providing recreational and social activities for the church. Every Church of Christ at that time was against such. By the mid-40s, there was an article that was written by a brother. He was actually a professor at Abilene Christian College. And he wrote an article advocating churches building new buildings in nice areas and attached to it a place for people to come and eat and to feed members of the church. Now, I want to ask a question. Why did this brother come up with this idea? Was it because he sat down and he's studying his Bible and he saw where the church was coming together and doing those kinds of things, or the Lord instructing the church to do those kinds of things? Is that what it was? Or did he look around at the nation round about, at the denominational world around us, and say, hey, that's what they're doing. That seems to be working for them, so why don't we do that too? Wonder which one it was. In the mid-40s, at first, that was fought against. But you know what? After World War II, and later after the church really began to blossom, to grow in the 60s and the 70s, and the institutional issues became involved, and those things began to be debated back and forth. Well, this is an issue that kind of got pushed to the background, but this is an issue that went along with the institutional brethren. And the institutional brethren who started out, in fact, I was studying with a man up north of Conway here a few years ago. And he said, what's wrong with having a little stove over in the corner of our Bible study room and using that to come and you know, people to bring sandwiches and stuff like that to eat? Okay, that is one thing. To build an addition or a building for that very purpose is yet another. That's another. And you know what? It started out with a little kitchen in the corner. Or it started out with a little gathering here or there. And by the way, what problem would anyone have with brethren meeting on the grounds? You know, back in the day, they used to drive their wagons to services and they would set up on the grounds. They would go outside under some tree and they would have a picnic, dinner on the ground as it was called. Who is really going to object to that as an incidental act of brethren when they come together, they take a break from worshiping God, they go outside, they eat? No one's going to object to that. That's not the issue. The issue is taking money out of the treasury and spending it on these complexes that, well, people recreate in. They have social gatherings in. Is there a difference between a social gathering and a worship gathering? Can we understand the difference? By the mid-60s, like I said, this thing went with the institutional brethren. But you know, it started out with this is, you know, this is just for members of the church. It's just a small little thing. We're not going to spend a lot of money. Now that it's not little bitty rooms anymore. What is it now? Family life centers. Now it's gymnasiums. Now it's multi-purpose rooms in which you can have all kinds of theatrics. You can have all kinds of activities. Secular and social in nature. You have game and party rooms full blown with all kinds of video games, any kind of video game you can imagine. They have ball teams, they have scout groups, they have, you name it almost, they got it. Recreational and social activities. The question is not even, are these things sinful in and of themselves? We all know that the answer to that is no, they're not. The question is, should and can the church provide for such things? As we said, the church has work to do. It is to be engaged in evangelism, edification, and benevolence. That's what the church is to be involved in. Edification, evangelism, and benevolence. Social and recreational activities is not the work of evangelism. It's not the work of edification, nor is it the work of benevolence. Benevolence is relieving a need. Providing social activities rises above that, or is not anywhere near the area of need. It's an enjoyment. It's a recreational activity. Can we see the difference? Of course, the main question. It's not about what I think about it or what I feel about it or what I would like to have. Or what I think we ought to do. The question is, do we have biblical authority? And I'll say to you that really lying at the heart of all the disagreements that brethren may have, lying at the heart of these disagreements is differing views toward authority, the need for authority. Do we, should we, must we have authority for everything we teach, believe, and practice? That's the real issue. And some brethren are quick to dismiss this and say, well, you know, it's not going to hurt anything. I don't see anything wrong with it. Brethren have been doing it for years. Look, it draws more people. You know, you provide such occasions, it draws more people. The question is it authorized by God? To authorize the church to arrange and support a common meal for social and recreational purposes, in order for it to be authorized, we must either find a direct statement or command of the Lord, in other words, something that the Lord says that we must do. We must find an approved apostolic example where brethren, where the church provided such. Now, I know where the brethren went from house to house and shared all things that they had with each other. I recognize that. We all recognize that they did that. The question is, where does the church provide? I'll tell you one place in Acts chapter 6. In Acts the 6th chapter, we find the Grecian widows, they were complaining about being neglected. So the apostle set 7 men, deacons, over this work to provide for their food. But wait a minute. Was that recreational? Was that some social get-together activity? No, it was relieving needy saints is what it was, providing a necessity that they had. It wasn't a coffee shop where people can come and drink coffee and they can eat bagels in the morning and watch television in the church building. It's not what it was, provided for by the church. That's not what was going on. Where's the passage? Where's the example or the necessary implication? I'll tell you one passage that we can look to, and that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17, beginning. And I'm going to read all the way down through verse 34, so hold on with me. Be patient, because we're going to go through the text, and we're going to discuss this a little bit, and then we'll move on. Verse 17, Paul says this to the church at Corinth. Now, in giving these instructions, I don't appraise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. Now, how are they coming together for the worse? He's going to tell us. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Now listen, when they came together in one place, were they coming together for the right reason? Nope. Were they doing the right things? No, they were not. Paul is rebuking the church here, the church at Corinth, for something that was taking place when they came together as a church. When they came together as a church, what were they to do? They were to worship God. They were to honor and glorify Him. That is what they were to do. He says in verse 21, for in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till you come. Now, they were coming together not for the better, but for the worse. They were coming together as a church. They were not coming together to partake of the Lord's Supper. Now, what were they supposed to be coming together for? Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 27, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. The emphasis is still upon you in partaking of the Lord's Supper. As we come together as a church, it does fall upon the individual to examine himself. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. They're having problems here. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone, listen to it, but if anyone is hungry, let him eat where? At home. Lest you come together for what? Judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come. Now, when it comes to common meals, secular meals, social meals, that is a function not of the church, but it is a function of what? The home. He's not saying, am I going to take this to say, if I'm going to eat a common meal, I have to eat it in my residence. That's not the point. There are two different spheres here. You have the sphere of the church and you have the sphere of the home. The common food area is in the home. When we come together as the church, the food that we partake of is spiritual. The food that we take of is in accordance with God's commandments and according to what Jesus Christ himself said for us to do. We're to come together to partake of the Lord's Supper. They were abusing not only the Lord's Supper, they were perverting their entire purpose for being together. What was being abused? Their assembly was one thing that was being abused. They come together for the worse. They came together in the church, as a church. They were together in one place, but it was still for the worse. What were they doing? They were eating. And some were lacking, some had a lot, but it was a perversion of what God had set in the church. The Lord's Supper. That's what the Lord had set in the church, but you see, they were perverting that by making it more of a common meal. And the poor brethren were left out of some of those things, and they were shamed because they had not. He says, look, you fix this problem, you take care of yourself and your physical necessities at home, you eat at home, that's the realm, you take care of those things there. The church is not the place for that. The assembly, what does Paul correct? They're assembling together for the worse. Don't come together for this, but come together for this. That's what he's saying. Don't come together for this. If you're hungry, where do you do that at? At home. Now, if you're coming together as a church, this is what you do. As the Lord delivered to me, here are the commandments. This do in remembrance of me. The bread represents his body. The blood, the fruit of the vine represents his blood, which was shed for us, and examine ourselves. And if we would judge ourselves, then we will not be judged. So we really need to look seriously at our own spiritual condition. When we come together, the Word of God needs to be taught. We need to pray. We need to sing. The Lord's Supper, though, still needs to be the focus. What the Lord has done for us and what He has provided and what He paid for our redemption. What does Paul rebuke? Their meal was congregational, but yet it was not for the better, but for the worse. Their meal was a common meal and not the Lord's Supper. It says, if any man's hungry, where is he to eat at? At home. Their meal was for social purposes, which was causing division. Chapter 11, verses 18, verse 22, and verse 33. So what does Paul command as far as the assembly is concerned? All to come together in one place, but they're to make sure that it's for the better. Now, how are they to do that? They are to remember the Lord's death. They are to worship the Lord in accordance with His teaching. On the Lord's Supper, you're to follow the things that Paul had delivered. On the brethren, don't shame one another. Don't show off. Don't shame one another, but tarry for one another. And when it comes to the Lord's Supper, you need to be concerned about your brother. You need to examine yourself. But when it comes to the common meals, he says it twice, verse 22 and verse 34. He says it twice. A twofold witness is sufficient. He says, do you not have houses to eat and drink in? What's the clear implication of that statement? And if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home. What's the clear implication of that statement? That, in fact, is in form of a command. Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? And if anyone is hungry, let him. It's in the emphatic sense, let him eat at home. You know, what we do as individuals, we've already pointed this out in previous studies when it comes to establishing authority. For example, when it comes to benevolence, there is a distinction to be made between the individual and the church. Notice in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 16, if any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them, and do not let the church be burdened, that it may relieve those who are really widows. My friend, if you are hungry, if you know someone that is hungry, feed them, but don't let the church be burdened. Now, if there is a need for these widows, and they are widows indeed, they meet the qualifications, they are subject and qualified to receive help from the church, then that is within the parameters of Scripture. but to build an edifice, to build a building, to provide a place for people to come together and socially engage themselves with common meals, that is not. And if we are to be particular about the widows that we're to take care of and to help, what about places to have fun, play games, to enjoy recreational activities, play pool, or whatever? How can that be justified? Someone says, well, these places and provision of social meals is an expediency to edification. It is expedient to edification. Expediencies in human wisdom involves the right of choice within the realm of those things included in what God has authorized. But that is one argument that has been made. Church social meals are expedient to edification, or the building up of the church. Now, this is something that we've already emphasized. Of course, when it comes to how to establish authority, we realize that there are basically two different kinds. You have specific authority and you have generic authority. Specific authority deals with those things that God has specified, and those things cannot be changed in any way, or you become guilty of violating God's commandments. General authority are things that would fall under or included, or would be included with those specific commands. For example, in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, go and preach the gospel to every creature. Or go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, what they were to teach was specified. They couldn't change that. But when the Lord says go, okay, there's a command to go. He doesn't specify how, but he does say go. So anything that would fulfill that command to go is included within the command. Okay, we are told to edify ourselves. I want you to think about this for a moment and kind of leave these examples aside. I think we're familiar enough with those. But I want you to think about this. When it came to worship, what is the worship that God has designed? What is its purpose? What is its function? Is it not to edify us? When you teach the Word of God, what's the purpose of God's Word in our life and in our teaching? What's the purpose? It's to edify us. What's the purpose of singing songs, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? Singing grace, melody in your hearts to the Lord. What's the purpose of that? It's to edify us. Our prayers are to edify us. You see, the Bible tells us how to edify ourselves. When we worship God according to His instructions, what are we then doing? We are edifying ourselves. Edification is the product. Listen, edification is the product of taking God's Word, learning more about God's Word, applying God's Word to our life. It is centered around God's Word, as we talked about in Bible class this morning. You know, the book of James, it's all centered around the Word of God. That's why he says in verse 21, you know, receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your soul. Everything, they're dealing with trials, their activities among each other, how they receive one another in the assembly, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. They're walking by faith, their speech in chapter 3, you just go right on down the line. Everything is centered around what God says in His Word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul makes the argument that everything that is done in the worship is to be done for what? Edification. How is edification accomplished? Edification is accomplished when we understand God's Word. That's where edification comes from. My friend, there's a different. God has provided a means to edify us. Where did God provide or instruct, command the church to facilitate and provide for the social and the recreational activities of the church? He's provided what we need to be edified. Now, again, I want to emphasize this. Should we get together? Should we be together? Should we engage with each other on social levels? Absolutely. The Christians did it in the first century. They were to get together. They did get together because of our commonality, because of our common love. But I don't see anywhere where they built, spent the Lord's money, provided for, or even planned and organized as a church, social or recreational activities. There's a difference between what we do as individuals and what the church and the elders oversee and manage and pay for out of the Lord's treasury. You know, in general authority, you know, we're commanded to assemble together. So therefore, you do have authority for a place to assemble. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We are to assemble together. The church came together in Corinth in one place. Had to have a place. So pews, lights, even other things that help make us comfortable, those are within the purview of fulfilling that command. That would include, by the way, the water fountain and the restrooms. The assembly of the church, we're to come together to do what? Worship. That's our focus. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're to come together to worship. We're to come together to pray and to sing and to commune and to give and to study unto edification. That's what the assembly is for. We see in the scripture where the Lord instructs us to sing. You know, what does a songbook do to change the nature of our song, our worshiping in song, other than aid that song? Does it change that nature of worship in any way? No. Doesn't add to it, doesn't take away from it. But what about playing along with our singing? That adds something to it. I think we can see and realize that. When it comes to immersing or baptizing someone in water, well, we need the water. It's essential. You've got to have enough water. So an aid to carry that out is a baptistry. You know, years ago, you had to go down to the creek. Years ago, you had to go down to the pond. Even in weather like this, if somebody wanted to be baptized, they have broken the ice many times. This is an aid to carry out the command. It doesn't change the nature of the obedience that we perform. A symbol. We're to have a place. We're to meet. And we're to worship God as God instructs. But where is the place in the scripture that says, that authorizes, that instructs us to provide a place for social meals where brethren can come together to have common meals? I can show you one place where this is specifically discussed, and that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And what does Paul say about it? Assembling to worship. Yes, that's authorized. It's specified. We have approved example after approved example. We have things that aid to carry out our worship to God. But where in the scripture do we find the local church making provision for, providing for out of the treasury, social and recreational activities in the New Testament? Where is that authorized? Quickly, someone says, well, the Lord's Supper was established during Passover. It was. Actually, it sure was. It was established during the Passover feast. But you know, it's interesting, we don't, and by the way, this is one reason why some folks now are pushing for a Thursday night observance, the Lord's Supper, because it was established on Thursday. But that's not when they were told to partake of it. That's not when they did partake of it as the church, when it became in effect. The Lord's Supper, yes, was established during Passover. The emblems were used, but that wasn't even a common meal in and of itself, was it? Was the Passover a common meal? No, it wasn't. The Passover was not a part of the supper. There were two distinct things. After the Passover, that's when the Lord then established the Lord's Supper. And he says, do this in remembrance of me. And the practice is condemned by the Apostle Paul as far as having a common meal. Someone says, well, you know, Jesus fed the people. Well, that's part of our scripture reading tonight. Of course, the latter part of the result of him feeding the people in John 6, verses 5 through 14. Jesus, after he fed them, they followed him, and Jesus said, "You're following me only because of the fishes." He didn't feed them anymore. He stopped. Could he have fed them? Yeah. He could have fed everybody. But he didn't. He stopped. Jesus fed the multitudes. But because they followed him for that reason, he stopped feeding them. Now find me the place where the Lord established in his church a social or recreational work and activity that the church is to be engaged in. Now you'll have an argument. Jesus stopped and would not feed the bread seekers, John 6, 26 and 27. Some say, well, the church met in homes. Yes, they met in homes. Many of them met in homes. They probably met in different homes at different times. The church met in homes. Okay, well, people ate in those homes. Yeah, they ate in those homes. But they were not coming to that home to eat. They were coming to that home to do what? Worship. Churches met in houses. We see that several times, but saints ate in those houses, the argument goes. Does that authorize a church meal for social purposes and taking money out of the treasury and building a big, nice building to have not only a place to eat, but a place to play? And not only a place to play, but a place to work out in? The Pleasant Valley Family Life Center is a thing. Not only is it for members, it is also open to the public. And they are in league with, you go to their website and you can check this out, they are in league with secular institutions here in Little Rock in providing and funding this thing. So that's a little different, isn't it, than coming over to our house and eat and worshiping God, and after we worship God, then going into my kitchen and providing some food to eat. A little difference. Does that authorize a church meal for social purposes? No. Well, someone says, well, the love feast. What about the love feast of Jude in verse 12? First of all, my question is, what is the love feast? You read Albert Barnes says that it's the Lord's Supper. I tend to agree with that. I believe he's right. I know that there are people who disagree with that. First of all, is it a common meal that he's talking about? I don't think so. Secondly, is Jude 12 addressed to a church and giving the church an opportunity or obligation to engage in these things? No, it's not addressed to the church. Is the Lord authorizing what is being done? Well, there were spots in their love feast. You go back and you can compare that to 2 Peter. There were problems going on with whatever it was they were doing. And by the way, 2 Peter, and comparing 2 Peter and Jude in verse 12 together, and what we find is, what I believe is, you have the people allowed who were, they were the false teachers, and they were allowed to continue to worship. He's talking about worship. I believe he's talking about the Lord's Supper. Compare with 1 Corinthians 11, 17 through 34, and what was going on in Corinth. They were told if they were going to have their meal, if you were hungry, you go home and you eat. When you come together, what are you to be doing? Observing the Lord's Supper and worshiping God. Compare that with 2 Peter chapter 2 as well. And I think that you'll see that this isn't talking about a church funding and providing common meals for people. What you find is the church, as people, as individuals, worshiping God together, and their worship is called a love feast because it is motivated by the love of Christ and our love for him and our love for each other. I don't see anything more than that. None of these provide biblical authority for local churches to facilitate, pay for, or even plan for the recreational activities of their members. Again, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 9, do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number, and not unless she has been the wife of one man, well reported of good for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work, but refuse the younger widows, for when they have begun to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry.
Mary.
Refuse the younger widows. There is limited benevolence taught very clearly. If the church is limited on relieving widows, how then could the Lord's money be spent on a place to eat and have fun? Does that make sense? The church is not a social order. It was never intended to be a social mechanism for change, a social mechanism to relieve the social pressures of mankind. It was never intended to be a social structure. Jesus himself said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, what did Paul say? The kingdom is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It is our fellowship with God, our worship and praise of God. It is a spiritual body. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, that's what he calls it, a spiritual building, a holy temple. It is a holy temple. What's to be allowed and what's to be done in a holy temple? Holy things. Oh, not common things. Can we see a difference there? The gospel is not a social gospel. It wasn't to relieve the social ills. The gospel is not to provide for man's desires, but rather to save us from our sin. Romans 1 and verses 16 and 17. And the gospel being preached is the power of God to save man. Where do the scriptures authorize the local church to sponsor social and recreational activities? If we're using the Lord's body and the Lord's money for things he has not authorized us to use them for, do you think we'll be held accountable? Do you think that the Lord is serious about how we treat his body and how we use his money? Some things to think about. Maybe you're here tonight. I'm going to stop right there. If you're here tonight and you've never rendered obedience to the gospel, that's the thing. That's what the gospel wants you to do, to enter into fellowship with him. We have so perverted the word fellowship. The word fellowship, when we say it, first thing we think of is, let's eat. The word fellowship in the Bible has to do with relationship, communion in that relationship. And to have fellowship with Christ, it is to have that union, to be reconciled with him, to be in partnership with him. And the only way to accomplish that is through obedience to his word. We are to be in fellowship with him, and we're to be in fellowship with one another. And our spiritual work together, our spiritual worship together, is to be in harmony with his will. Because when we break away from his will, my friend, listen, we break away from his fellowship too. So let us be serious about obeying him regardless of what we want, of what we think will work or be better. We need to be obedient. If we can help you in any way tonight, we ask, won't you come as we stand and sing the song that Cameron selected.